This is Off the Clock. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for joining us. Picking fruit, tasting wine, petting a goat, roping a cow, when customers pay for the honor of taking on farm chores, it's called agritourism. California, Texas, and Colorado have the lion's share of this business in the United States. Still, over the last few years, farmers and policymakers in the Midwest have been trying to get in on the action. Harvest Public Media's Camille Phillips has this story.
Let's pack up fruit and take it to grocery stores and see if they'll buy anything. And it was this panic moment.
That's Renee Saba, the owner of Mule Barn Berries in Lathrop, Missouri, just north of Kansas City. On this crisp, sunny morning, Saba and her husband, Charlie, are still figuring out how to make a go of it. This is the second year of operation for the U-Pick Blackberry Patch. Last year, they didn't have enough customers come out. With bushels of berries rotting on the vine, they scrambled to find other ways to sell their fruit. Now, they are better prepared, Saba says. Several area restaurants buy their berries, they've made arrangements to sell at more farmers' markets, and as a last resort, they can call gleaners to pick the remaining fruit. Agritourism businesses in Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas brought in an average of $12,300 in 2007. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Ag Census. Still, policymakers in the Midwest are enthusiastic about the potential of agritourism. State governments and universities have websites, agencies, and staff devoted to developing agritourism into an industry. Linda Craighead has been promoting agritourism in Kansas for 10 years. She now works for the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. The idea, she says, has been slow to catch on.
It's new. It's new for Kansas. It is not something that has just been... It's not something that people have really just truly embraced.
There are some pioneers, like Geringer Orchards in Edgerton, Kansas, 30 miles from Kansas City. Owner Frank Geringer farms about 1,000 acres and produces corn, soybeans, and beef cattle. That's his family's primary source of income.
Our original orchard was up here. It's getting old enough now. We've had a lot of trees die. Peach trees don't live particularly long compared to a lot of fruit trees.
But about 10 years ago, Geringer added a new crop, peaches, and invited people out to the orchard to pick. Today, he has 12 acres of peach trees, a couple of acres of blackberries, sweet corn, and 5 hoop houses full of tomatoes and other vegetables. In addition to U-Pick, Geringer and his wife Melanie sell their produce at a country store on their property and at several area farmers' markets. Inside the country store, Geringer explains that they found the best way to get people out to their orchard is to hand out flyers at those farmers' markets. And at the same time, their orchard is a big help in selling their produce at the market.
But when we set up, we only sell what we grow. And when we set up, we usually put up a U-Pick sign with us too. So people automatically key into the fact that, well, they've got to grow their stuff.
Another pioneer is Carolyn Rash in Liberty, Missouri.
And then this will be our corn maize over here that just got planted yesterday.
In 1991, she opened Carolyn's Country Cousins on her farm to sell the pumpkins and other produce she had been selling at a farmer's market. That same year, a school asked if they could bring students out to see the farm, and now 17,000 school children tour their place every year.
People used to be able to go to grandma's, grandpa's every weekend, or aunts and uncles, and now we are not one generation removed from the farm. We're 3 and 4 generations removed from the farm. Some of them have never set foot on a farm and never been out and just played in the mud and played in the dirt.
But their school tours offer a lot more than dirt. There's an animal barn, a pig race, a hay bale maze, a slide and jungle gym made of farm supplies, a train ride, and to top it off, a U-Pick pumpkin patch. Rush's sons also have a corn maze next door. One of the reasons agritourism appeals to farmers is that it takes advantage of the land, equipment, and knowledge they already possess. Rash and her husband Buddy farm full-time, as do their 2 adult sons. They use the same farm equipment and expertise to plant their 8,000 acres of row crops as they do to plant the 60-acre U-Pick pumpkin patch and corn maze.
Would you say you make more money doing agritourism than the row crops, though?
Oh, no. Row crop is our number one income. Row crop is our number one income by far.
Still, the attractions draw thousands of paying customers each year and employ 150 people each fall. That kind of success can create a ripple effect of economic growth in a rural community. A family vacation milking cows or harvesting wheat may never have the appeal of Disneyland. But for the farmers that decide to branch out into agritourism, perhaps the opportunity to share their way of life is enough, especially when it can help bring an influx of cash to their community and put a few extra $1,000s in their pocket. I'm Camille Phillips for Harvest Public Media.
And now it's time for My Farm Roots, a series from Harvest Public Media giving us Americans' stories and memories of rural life, because when you hail from farm country, roots run deep.
I'm Peggy Lowe, a reporter for Harvest Public Media. Nan Arnold was 20 years old when her destiny took a turn one day at the local drugstore. She met Henry Gardner and became part of a ranch family known internationally for their Angus cattle. I talked to Nan at a senior center in Ashland, Kansas, as she was caring for her husband of 55 years.
My name is Nan Gardner, and I came here in 1955 to teach school. And I met my husband in the drugstore about a year later when he came back from the service, and I've lived here ever since. Dad bought two Angus bulls, and he put them on shorthorn cows, and then from then on he was in the Angus business. And I think that was in 1934. This was Hereford country, and everybody had Herefords, and he thought that Angus would be the coming thing, and he liked to be different, and he marched to a little different tune. Henry went to school right after we were first married and learned how to artificial inseminate. It's changed a lot since then, but at that time, they mixed the semen right in my kitchen with egg yolk and whatnot, and then they went out and did it fresh. It was pretty nasty. But I came down to Ashland because that was one of two programs that offered the piano program, and that's what I really wanted to teach. And I loved this country, and it was beautiful, and of course it was 2 hours from home, and I fell in love with the country, and so I never did go. I was offered the opportunity to teach here, and so I came and taught those 2 years. We built a home out on the ranch, and it was in the middle of a wheat field, and there wasn't a blade of grass, there wasn't one tree, and of course now there's a huge tree belt. But that first summer we never pulled a weed because the wind blew just like it does today, and the sand blew, and I know that the day after he drilled, the grass seed, why, most of it blew into Oklahoma, so we just didn't pull anything that summer. And I've lived here 54 years. This is my home, and I love it, and I think it's a very unique place.
That's Off the Clock this week. Both our features this week came from Harvest Public Media. To hear more stories from Harvest, go to kvia.org and click on Harvest Public Media, or go to harvestpublicmedia.org. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.